coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. I am your host, Coach Steve. On today's episode, guys, we are talking back on the Dynasty train. It's been a while since we really got into Dynasty, obviously, with all the redraft stuff's been going on here. But we wanted to give you guys a little, you know, buy low, sell high kind of scenario right before the season kicks off here, and trying to help you guys win your championships on the Dynasty level this week. So, we're supposed to have a guest on. He may show up later. We don't know yet. So, but have no fear. Obviously, we have the dynamic duo of me and my co-host of Coach Jibs. What's going on, Jibs?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. Good to see you again, bro. It's been quite a while, as I said earlier.
Yeah, it was a long weekend full of sleep, rest, recovery, some coffee, some injuries, unfortunately. And onward.
Onward. That's all you can do in the fantasy world, guys. And hopefully, if you're still doing drafts, good luck. Hopefully, you don't have to worry about any more preseason injuries, at least, as long as they don't get hurt in training camp, which I don't believe they practice as much now. So hopefully, there's no issue there. So, like I said, we're talking Dynasty, buy low, sell high today on today's episode. We're going to have three each for you on each side of the thing from both me and Jibs. But before we get started on that, we do have some news to cover. And Jibs kind of mentioned some spoilers, some heartbreaks over the weekend, and J.K. Dobbins, Baltimore Ravens running back, torn ACL on a short catch from, Tyler Huntley was in there, who was amazing in that game the other day. But he's out for the season, confirmed today. The Ravens put him on the IR list. And that leaves us with a lot of unquestioned marks here now, Jibs. And how do you feel about Gus Edwards now as the lead back? And are you targeting him now, even though you're not getting him at that round 9 value no more? Where are you taking Gus Edwards?
Bro, I was so mad when it happened, just because it kind of put a damper on just getting him in that late kind of near double digit round kind of value. But for me, if I'm picking in a redraft league right now to say half PPR, I'll pick him around that round 4 or 5 range, depending on my running back situation. I feel like he's within that sub tier group where you're picking from the Josh Jacobs, the Gaskins, the Hendersons, the Davises. If you want a guy who can grind some carries, the guy's super efficient. He has I know he has a greater than 5 yards per carry during his career. He's going to be just the main guy. Obviously, he's not going to be catching as many passes as some of those running backs that are in that range. I still think he has a fantastic value in redraft right there. Dynasty, of course, if you could pry him off a owner for a relatively cheap cost, why not? I feel like you just got a plug and play running back for the remainder of the season.
And I love that point there, Jibs. Honestly, I mean, I think you have a tremendous running back now in fantasy. I mean, yeah, he might lack the things that J.K. Dobbins is able to do on the field to be more of a dynamic kind of running back, but he's a guy over the last 3 seasons who's averaged 5 yards a carry. His career average is over 5 yards per carry. He at times when he's giving the bigger workload, he's able to produce. Now, last year, I think there was a game where he was lead guy, but there was no Lamar Jackson on the field. I'm sure that took a damper on how his value went for that game there. But I mean, 2 years ago, he's had opportunity to really show his worth. I mean, he ran for 170 yards against the Steelers. Granted, it was week 17, but for the most, he's able to carry a heavy workload, I think, in his career. And he's only averaged about 135 carries a season. That's not a lot in terms of a workhorse running back, but he's going to be used that way this coming season here. And the way you look at Gus Edwards is he's no longer that ninth round value anymore. He is more of a round 4 value right now. I have him kind of just behind guys like Sanders and Gaskins because he doesn't have that receiving threat. He's probably best value at round 5. But if you wanted to reach for him at round 4, you have that value. And that's the cool thing, because I think, you know, we love J.K. Dobbins so much, but we're like, oh, we can't put him in the next tier because of his receiving ability. But he's going to see rushing touchdowns to Gus Edwards. He's going to see the yardage this coming season here. And we're going to talk about some of the people who may be able to compliment him a little bit this coming season. And, you know, Jibs, the rest of the core there, you know, Justice Hill, Taysom Williams, if you're out there, do you expect any, you know, step up from either one of these two guys per se this coming season?
You'll figure someone will have to take at least some of the carries. Like, over the last couple of seasons, Ravens definitely have used two running backs, and I don't think they're just going to give it all to Gus Edwards. So I'm just going to go put my, like, the right foot forward and go with Justice Hill. Like, I know he hasn't been anything more than spectacular, because he's just been, like, just average over the last couple of years with injury. And when there was times with some injuries to running backs, he did get a little bit of running. But I'm going to give it to Justice Hill, but we will definitely have to see. I'm not, like, telling you guys to take these guys with your last picks in your draft, but just monitor the situation and figure out which one's going to have more opportunity when week one comes and you pick them up with the waiver wire after that.
Right. Like I said, someone's got to do it. We know Gus Edwards has been the number two back on this team for the last three seasons, and he's averaged 130 carries. So someone's going to see 120 carries at least this coming season, whether it's a committee on that second guy or someone steps up. You know, Hill would assume be the next guy in line. He's been there for a couple of seasons, but just really hasn't took that next level there, unfortunately. You know, a beat writer today did say Williams, undrafted running back in the 2020 draft. You know, he's the RB2 on that team. I mean, again, he was someone who never really stepped up in that college level, never had that next level. He kind of moved from different schools. I mean, he was kind of basically just driven out of every school he went to for the most part. And BYU just wasn't a big running team the year he was there, his senior year. Again, he has potential. He's a power kind of back there who could end up having some kind of role in this offense. He looked good against the, I think whoever the Ravens played this week three game here, I forget what it was. Oh, the Redskins. He looked pretty decent. I mean, didn't have a great game, but he looked like he could suitable be that Gus Edwards-like role in the offense here. I think in terms of dynasty right now, either one of them guys are a must-pick up because of the way this Ravens offense runs. They run a lot. So if they're out there on your waivers, I think they're worth a pickup. They said no Todd Gurley right now. It will be interesting to see if someone else comes in. I just don't know who it would be. I mean, AP is out there. Bell, I mean, we'll see if maybe someone gets cut and they want to bring them in. Mark Ingram reunion would be interesting. I know he's with Houston, but he could end up being cut before the season starts. Who knows? So we'll see what kind of happens there. But right now, Gus Edwards definitely makes that nice jump from that ninth round to round five value right now. Now, Jibs, this is back to Dynasty. Since we are talking Dynasty today here, if you had to pick one between these three guys who just basically all got hurt, Dobbins, Akers, and Travis Etienne, who are you picking right now in Dynasty if you're going to have one of these guys all coming off major injuries going into 2022?
That's a good question.
Great question.
I'm going to pick Etienne. I just feel like he's younger, first and foremost. Second of all, I think just the way he's been kind of like getting profiled in reports as it's being utilized all over the offensive field, I think that can provide that huge, humongous upside down the road. So I think he has a chance to be that lead rush running back and just have a super serious action in the receiving game. So I like Travis.
I like that take there. I'm going to go probably with J.K. Dobbins. To me, his injury scares me the least, because we've known running backs to kind of come back very well from ACL tears. Akers is probably the least likely for me because it's the Achilles and the history on that. Etienne, the foot, it should be fine for next season. Him and Dobbins, I think, are pretty close to me, but I'm going to pick one guy. I think I'm going to pick Dobbins because of the offense that he is in with the Ravens, and he's going to have, obviously, Lamar Jackson to tie to him for at least two more probably seasons. So I'm going Dobbins on that one. Some more news here. Carson Wentz and a couple other guys hit the COVID-19 list. The earliest they can come back is 5 days. So that would put him basically around the weekend. Hopefully, you know, it doesn't continue to be longer, because then that could put him in danger for week one. His wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton, is expected to miss some time with an injury he suffered at camp. Gardner Minshew, Jibs, got traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. How do you like that trade?
I know Howie Roseman. He just loves having backup quarterbacks. So, yeah, it's good for him. I'm glad Gardner Minshew got into a new situation. Welcome to Philadelphia. If you do good, you'll have green mustaches all around the city.
That would be really fun, honestly. Do you think them trading for Minshew puts a damper maybe on a guy like Jalen Hurts?
No. Get Joe Flacco the fuck out of here.
That's what you believe it is? It's just a Joe Flacco thing?
Yep, he's a bum.
Okay. I mean, he did pretty well this preseason for an old man.
Preseason. And once he gets in the game, he's just going to be chucking balls that are
erratic,
17 yards, and turn over the ball as soon as he gets in the 30 or past the 30. But they're just thinking ahead, basically. They're saying, like, Joe Flacco's old. Like, you're going to have to run, try to find another backup quarterback. That's pretty much all the good ones are taken or signed, and you're just going to have like the Jacob Eastons and like the Sam Ellingers of the world. So they're basically saying, let's get a young guy, guy who's basically served as a quarterback, like at least a competent one, and boom, there you go.
There you go, guys. Yeah, I mean, again, I wish Minshew had another opportunity to go maybe somewhere else, the possibility to start. I mean, obviously, if we like guy like Jalen Hurts, Minshew mania isn't really going to happen in Philly, but. If Hurts is to maybe not do well early on, I think Minshew could come in and help this team out a little bit this coming season here. So it wouldn't be the worst thing having Minshew mania there. But again, he's going to be the backup. He's probably going to be the third quarterback until he gets under his feet in terms of the playbook and everything like that. But you shouldn't really be too concerned about Jalen Hurts. If you think Minshew's being there is going to stop them from not having Hurts in there, it just doesn't make sense. They're going to give Hurts the keys to the car and see what he can do this year, and then they're going to regroup going into next season and see if Hurts can be their guy this year. So, and then one last thing, we had to continue to talk about quarterbacks and the trades. Deshaun Watson got some more talk today. Deshaun Watson got reported that Miami is a big possibility once again. The Panthers are a big possibility once again here. So I guess I'll start overall here. Again, people, you know, people talk about this all day. I looked at different news things. You know, people are saying it's Tua, it's Watson. It's a tough situation for Miami right now, because I like Tua a lot. I'd prefer them to keep Tua, obviously. Obviously, I would be thrilled if we get a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. But again, those off-field issues are a big concern to want to even trade away a potential, a really strong quarterback in Tua. To me, I would hope they don't do it, because I feel like it's going to make things weird unless they really know that Watson is cleared from these situations that he's in currently right now. And because if we get Watson, I mean, that's a top five quarterback in the NFL right now. I mean, it's going to be amazing in Miami, but it would be interesting. I know the Panthers are also a situation right now, but, you know, we haven't talked about Deshaun Watson as much this offseason, obviously, because we don't really deal with him in redraft, and especially not now, especially since the Texans did say they would make him inactive for every single game this coming season here. So hate to see that, especially because I have a lot of shares of Deshaun Watson late. But Jibs, in terms of Watson right now, you know, based on everything you've heard, where are you valuing Watson right now? Are you trying to acquire him? Are you trying to just get what you can from him? Because we haven't had this conversation in probably 3 months.
I'm staying away from him completely. I think there's some kind of smoke in the air, because obviously with the impending legal investigation or the criminal investigation, the NFL can't really suspend him until that's kind of done and over with. So he kind of has a free year to kind of skate away if a team wants to acquire him and whatnot. And then you guys could kind of make some dividends on your late round picks and investments on Deshaun Watson. But other than that, I just think, like, even after that, like, what happens next year? Is he going to get suspended for some duration of time? If that happens, you're gonna crow on that. But still, you figure with the NFL, it's gonna kind of blow away at some point, and he's gonna be back on the field, and everything's gonna be kind of swept under the rug. But there's a lot of time, and you could be kind of wasting some of your other portions of your roster's kind of prime. So I don't want to deal with that. I'd rather let someone else Unless it's super cheap.
Yeah, I think I'm getting to the point where right now, I just, if you have Watson, you have to kind of hold on to him, I feel like. I feel like if you're, like, their GM is saying, I'm not selling 70 cents on the dollar. I mean, I assume he's going to play again in the NFL. It seems pretty certain that he will. He might get suspended at some point. But giving up a top five quarterback right now, in term, even in fantasy right now, it just seems a bit much. I'm not trading for him anymore. I don't want to buy that low window right now unless I'm completely rebuilding right now and I'm looking forward ahead to maybe the 2023 season right now. Because I don't think, if he doesn't play this year, he's going to get probably suspended possibly for next season. Again, who knows? But there's a possibility that he just doesn't play this year. And then the NFL says, all right, we can do our investigation. And boom, you're getting a suspension in 2022, which puts him out of the NFL almost for 2 years. To me, I'm either holding, or if someone's willing to give me something for it, that it's worth it. Really, you're putting yourself in a nightmare situation with Watson right now. So get out of it if you can, and hopefully you can get the quality of return that you would want in for a guy like Deshaun Watson. So, all right, and that's the rest of the news for the day, guys. There isn't anything really much more. Hopefully we don't hear anything more bad like the J.K. Dobbins incident as of this weekend, but we're talking Dynasty now, guys, and it's fun to talk Dynasty because we really haven't had a chance to. We always talk about this season. And again, we're probably going to mention things about this season that makes these guys either buy lows or sell highs. So, Jibs, I will let you start first. Who is your first buy low guy you're trading for before the season starts?
I want some action on Damian Harris, especially since Sony Michel has gotten traded to the Los Angeles Rams. So you're going to figure this guy's going to be the lead dog for the New England Patriots backfield. I know it's still a committee. You still have guys like Ramondre Stevenson, James White, J.J. Taylor. But there's one less guy, a guy who kind of profiles similar and has the same role in the offense. So I think he can have a lot more carries. To a long-term perspective, we know Cam Newton's getting the hell out of there. They're going to start Mac Jones eventually. I know Cam Newton kind of puts a hamper on Damian Harris's upside, stealing all the touchdowns in the red zone. Without Cam Newton in there, I think he has more touchdowns, so he'll have a greater shot to be a consistent cog in your dynasty roster. But besides that, the guy, he's another running back who averaged 5 yards per carry last year. And I know he doesn't have a reception floor whatsoever, but still, I think he could be a nice running back for a contending team to acquire, especially if you got an injury or you just need someone to plug and play throughout the season. So that's why I like Damian Harris.
And I kind of agree with you. I think Damian Harris is a good time to buy low because everyone was so high on Ramondre Stevenson after a fantastic preseason from him. And I think people are moving towards how they want Stevenson, and Harris is, even though Sony's gone, I mean, I just don't think, and we talked about this on the Wednesday show, that his value didn't really go up too much. And I think it's because of Stevenson being there and this offense here. But Harris, I think if the way things look like it's going in New England here, that Mac Jones might be the week one starter. It's a real possibility. And I think if you go and buy into Harris now, he's going to have a great season and be someone that you're looking as a top 15 back going into next season here. So I love that pick there, Jibs, a lot. For me, guys, I went my first guy. It's Gabriel Davis. And just watching this preseason game again, it's preseason, so you don't really want to go too nuts about preseason and everything like that. But this offseason, I've been talking about it. Gabriel Davis, go buy Gabriel Davis. And this is my last chance to kind of convince you guys really to go out and get a guy like Gabriel Davis right now. He's attached to a top scoring offense right now. Josh Allen looked amazing out there. Granted, preseason, I get it. But Josh Allen has been continuing to improve each and every single season. And I think he continues to take those next steps. And it pains for me to want to say it as a Dolphins fan to like really like type up a division rivals, a quarterback. But Josh Allen's amazing. And I think Gabriel Davis takes that next step. People are saying, oh, it's not this year. I think it still can be this year. Cole Beasley's, you know, in and out, you know, of the offense right now with everything he's talking about on the outside. Emmanuel Sanders is 34 years old. He's not a young sprout guy anymore. Gabriel Davis is 23 years old. He's the tallest wide receiver on the team. I think he's going to see many red zone opportunities this year. I think of it as Mike Williams like 3 years ago when he had like 800 yards and 10 touchdowns or 600 yards and 10 touchdowns, whatever it may be. He could be in for a double-digit touchdown like season. Again, we saw this past game here. The rushing game is not existent, and Josh Allen is going to throw. I mean, in just this game alone, I think in the first half that he had four receptions to Cole Beasley, four receptions to Sanders, five receptions to Gabriel Davis. Gabriel Davis is on the next level train here. His separation is elite, and he's got the size and this enough speed to really take it to the next level in fantasy this year. If you can give up a 2022 second, I would be okay doing that. I think you're going to be happy with the investment you get, because I think this time next year, we're talking Gabriel Davis as a top 20, top 25 wide receiver in fantasy football going into next year. So Gabriel Davis is my first guy on the board I like to buy low on.
25.
Again, that's I'm expecting to take a leap in this offense here this coming season, and I think you could really much get that this season, Jibs.
Oh, too bad I'll have to freaking get it started by you to get him.
I have him everywhere. I got him so cheap in the league. I got him for a couple months ago. I got him for 2022 third and Jameson Crowder. I said, no doubt. Oh. Send those guys away. Gabriel Davis. I'm cool with it. So I'm a big Gabriel Davis believer, and I think he will succeed. So, Jibs, who do we got in your next guy here?
Let's change the queue up. I'm going Corey Davis, a guy who's been exceptional this preseason with the Jets. Quite frankly, I didn't think Zach Wilson was that guy. Should listen to you, Coach Steve, a little bit more, since you're a big believer of the guy. He looks awesome. Like, he definitely looks better than like a lot of rookies I've seen over the last couple of years. And the first thing he's looking at is Corey Davis. And I know the Jets receiving last year wasn't great. I know they were led by Jameson Crowder, who was pretty much in and out of the lineup, and he was going missing in and out every so often. But besides that, like, Rashad Perryman, he's gone. There's some targets there. Chris Herndon's basically nothing anymore. Maybe Denzel Mims takes a step up, but Jameson Crowder's definitely taken a step down. He had 86 targets last year. I think Corey Davis pretty much replicates that. Maybe has even a higher chance to even hit 100 with, I guess, Zach Wilson liking him so much. But he's still young. I think he's a great option for a contending team. He's not going to cost pretty much what a good wide receiver three would cost you in a dynasty perspective. So I like Corey Davis. Get him while the getting's good.
I like that there, Jibs. And like I said, I've been a guy who's been on the Zach Wilson believing train here. Corey Davis, and the sum of the preseason I did see, he looked really good. I think he can take that next step there. I think I haven't projected just about like 900 yards, but I think he could break that. He could end up having a 1,000-yard season for the first time in his fantasy career here, or his NFL career, honestly. And again, he's going really cheap. I think you could probably get off a couple thirds, maybe a young player to get a guy like Davis who can perform this season and for the next couple seasons. He's only 26 years old, so he's stepping into the prime of his career on a team that needs a wide receiver one to really step up. Obviously, I love Elijah Moore too, but Corey Davis, I think he's ready to make that next step. So he's flying with the Jets right now. So, and Jibs, you're going to like my next one here a lot, I think. I'm going running back here. I'm going to buy low running back right now, and if you can. And it's Kenneth Gainwell. Fly Eagles.
I was about to say, you say me out of Sanders. I'm going
to
get you.
No, not Miles Sanders at all. I want nothing to do with Sanders right now. But Kenny Gainwell, you know, he's a guy out of Memphis who just racked up yards in every which way. And again, he sat out last season, but you know, two years ago, he was amazing at Memphis, and already in the NFL, he's already making a mark, and he's doing it in the receiving game a lot. And you know, because we live in New Jersey, and we see a lot of Eagles football sometimes. And he looked great on the field so far. He's getting great raves at camp. Again, he's a short, stocky running back who I think can put a pounding on the ground here. Emmanuel Sanders, but Miles Sanders has not looked great at camp whatsoever so far. I mean, there's been just so many bad reports, and I think you have to take the bad reports over the good reports over anything when you think of fantasy. His receiving ability just isn't there for some reason. And again, he's been hurt over his two-year career so far. It's not like he's been a healthy sprout. I think Kenny Gainwell could carve himself out a big role if, God forbid, something happens to Miles Sanders, and kind of just see a receiving floor that you just don't get with any other running back, maybe Boston Scott. But I think Kenny Gainwell can be better than a guy like Boston Scott right now. I think a 2023rd round pick right now would be more than efficient to get a guy like Gainwell on your team here. And I think you could be talking him as early as a possible starter going into next season, or at least a guy who's splitting the share work with Miles Sanders going into next season if Sanders is still the guy there. I think Gainwell has a lot of opportunity to really take that next level, and I think you should be going out and getting him now before he really think lights it up in the NFL. So I'm an Eagles fan now, Jibs. You're on mute. Maybe you're not.
No, I see. Wow. That's pretty delightful to hear about that nice little Gainwell buzz. Like, I've seen a couple of plays he made in preseason, but I'm not really buzzing. Like, I'm never a guy. Like, I never drafted an Eagle. I hate having him on my team. They make me go on full tilt on Sundays. So,
who's your last guy out here on the buy lows?
Oh, Tyler Boyd.
Oh,
so he's still a relatively good player. He's a guy who could definitely get you. I mean, look, he gets you around 80 catches a season, close to 1,000 yards. He basically has average above 900 yards last three seasons. And, you know, he's going to get you more than 100-plus targets. So I like that. He's pretty much the cheapest Bengals wide receiver you can get out of the trio if you want to just have a piece in his offense. So I like that. Like, I don't think you have to spend a first-round pick for him. He's still 26 years old. I think it's a good floor play for your lineup. He's not going to get you, like, any huge games, but he's a guy you just want to have, like, let's say, I don't know what he had over the season. This is PPR, but a guy who could get you relatively like a good 12 PPR points easy, like, bang, that's good. But I like Tyler Boyd. I think he's not done, and I think he's getting slept on this year.
Okay. I like that a lot there. Tyler Boyd, I've always been a big believer in a guy like Tyler Boyd. I think he has the opportunity to really be the, you know, the one on this team still. I mean, we talked about Chase. He's dealing with drops. Higgins is great, but I think I've said this 7 times at least on the podcast that Joe Burrow coming out last year, we talked about Tyler Boyd as his number one target because Joe Burrow loved to throw to the slot in college, and that's what made a guy like Justin Jefferson so great in college. And I expect similar things to happen this year with a guy like Tyler Boyd, and this is the time to go get him because no one's really interested in Tyler Boyd. They're all worried about the future. They're worried about Higgins. They're worried about Chase. And no one's worried about Tyler Boyd right now. So this is the time to go get a guy like Tyler Boyd before we actually start performing to the standards we all want right now with him. All right. So my last buy low option here, guys. I'm sticking with the rookie class again here. Zach Wilson. We mentioned him kind of already here this season. But Zach Wilson has been very impressive so far this year. Been very impressive. I mean, he has been someone who people were raving in camp about him. I think his coach said he was a rookie above his time right now. Again, it's all coach talk. You know, you don't want to take it too seriously. But the reason I liked Zach Wilson coming out is because he was accurate. And you always want an accurate quarterback in the NFL. You don't want a guy sometimes who has to build to it. I mean, there are rare situations like a guy like Josh Allen who beat those odds. But if you're not an accurate quarterback, chances are you really aren't going to get there. Sometimes it takes a lot of work and practice, and just Zach Wilson already has it. Another thing is the it factor. The it factor is such a big thing on guys like Pat Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Zach Wilson has that it factor in his arsenal already. He's made plays at BYU that were just like, wow, how did he do that? And he's got weapons around him. We talked about Corey Davis already. I love Elijah Moore. I don't even hate Jameson Crowder or Denzel Mims, honestly. I mean, Zach Wilson is given enough weapons. I think he will make some noise this year, and he's someone to buy in now, especially in Superflex leagues, and get him on your roster because he's, again, if you looked at the rookie drafts, he's gone as the fourth quarterback. People aren't paying attention to Zach Wilson. They're worried about Trevor Lawrence. They're worried about Justin Fields. They're worried about Trey Lance. Even Mac Jones is starting to gain traction now because he's the Patriots. No one's worrying about Zach Wilson. I get it. It's the Jets. I don't like the Jets, but Zach Wilson, I think, can make that leap this year. So buying him now makes a ton of sense because the QB class next year, it's pretty decent. But I think Zach Wilson is a guy you want to grab now if you're rebuilding or even if you're starting this year. He's going to have value on a week-to-week basis. It might not always be pretty, but he's going to have some big weeks during the season that people are going to be impressed and surprised by his performance. So to me, Zach Wilson, my last buy low of the night, guys.
I like it a lot.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And now we go to some guys we just don't really want on our teams before the season starts because some things are going to happen this year. So we have our sell highs. Jibs, who is your sell high option number one?
Oh, I wouldn't put it that way. It's just some this is like basically housekeeping for me and guys who are in pretty good situations now, but I think situations could change down the road. That's just my perspective. And I'm starting tonight off with Austin Eckler. I love Austin Eckler, huge fan of his. But he just has the whole situation lined up for him. He's a lead back and his team. We know this guy is easy shot to get 70 receptions. He's pretty much going to give you almost 1,300 all-purpose yards, whether running and receiving. But I'm just worried about his age. I know he's 26, going to be 27 by the year's end. And that's getting up there with that running back age. I'd rather just kind of recycle the running back, sell him off, get a younger running back, and just keep him moving. And obviously, he's a little slighter. There's always going to be some durability issues, but still, like, I'm a sap. I'm going to be drafting him in the second rounds of redraft leagues this year, or late first round. So, like, he's still an awesome player. But I just think the situation is just too kind to turn up, and you still could get an awesome return on your value.
Oh, man. You better give me all your Austin Eckler shares now for saying something like that, man. But
hey, I can. Go ahead, take it.
But no, it makes perfect sense, honestly. I mean, I like Austin Eckler a lot, and obviously I'm only selling if I get the right value, of course, but we don't know what's going to happen. We've had one great season of Austin Eckler, and a season and a half, you could say. You would hope that the targets are going to stay high. We can only assume. But again, he's not getting the goal line work that I want to see in him. Like, you know, we talk about Alvin Kamara. He's so good. It's because he might be a reception guy, obviously, but he gets touchdowns. He gets a lot of touchdowns in his career. Austin Eckler just isn't getting enough goal line work for me to want to say I want him on my team year in and year out constantly. I mean, yeah, he's a good two, but if someone's willing to sell me for the value of a one, I'm willing to take that right now. So I like that there, Jibs. I like that a lot. My first guy here is Kirk Cousins. We have a problem. I'm making puns as we go in this thing here. So for me, guys, it was hard to find a quarterback that, you know, you could say Tom Brady, you could say Aaron Rodgers, you could say these guys that are getting older. You could say Lamar Jackson, if you don't believe in his ability to rush the ball, his ability to throw the ball without his rushing floor. But Kirk Cousins, I feel like, has good value still. And it's a quarterback that people like, I want on my team because he put up decent numbers. And yeah, he's putting up really good numbers over his career. Nothing against Kirk Cousins. He's been great. But I just don't know if his time in Minnesota is going to be extended much longer after possibly this season. Honestly, you know, we talked about last year. Why was Kirk Cousins so good? Is because the defense was so bad last year. They were one of the worst defense, especially through the air, that you could just pass on them all day. And if you look at Kirk Cousins' first and second half stats, I mean, they were just doubled in the second half because they had to throw the ball so much to stay up with these offenses. They're just throwing on them all day. And I think the defense has gotten better with the addition of Patrick Peterson this offseason here. And I don't expect them to be throwing the ball 40 times a game or a lot, or at least 25 times in just the second half alone. Maybe 20 times in the whole game, but not 25 in just the second half. And, you know, they're going to continue to run at Dalvin Cook here. They need to use this run and defense kind of day and let Kirk Cousins game manage. Even though he's not the best game manager, they're not going to be in situations where they're going to be forced to throw always. So I think this is the time to go out and sell a guy like that, and especially with the situation with him and COVID right now and what the team is trying to do overall and his situation, his viewpoints on it. It could lead to a divorce that we're not happy with next year, and he could end up in a situation where people don't like it. So I think getting away from him now makes sense. I just think you're not going to get the season you want out of him that he had last year, and you're better off selling. If you can get Zach Wilson, honestly, I'd be pretty happy with that right now, or get a 2022 first out of him in the Superflex League right now. I think I'd be considering to do that especially if I'm rebuilding right now going into this season. So, and Jibs, my friend, back to you. Who is your number two guy?
I'm not mad on that Kirk Cousins take. I honestly believe the value, I mean, I guess basically his passing volume and opportunity would kind of drop this year, but still he's a relatively good quarterback, especially if you're playing in those two QB leagues. So he's still has some shine to him, to say the least.
Exactly.
But my second one, similar to Austin Eckler, will be Joe Mixon. 25 years old, still great shape for a running back. Window opportunity, but you know the story with Joe Mixon. Like, what has he done for you lately? I know, like, other fantasy owners probably don't want him, but you still can't, like, kind of sleep on the situation and opportunity. Giovanni Bernard's gone. You figure that he's going to have more receptions availability to him. Maybe not that much with Jamar Chase and the three wide receivers, but still you figure he could kind of make similar impact to those like two games he had last year where he had like 5-6 receptions. You know he's going to have a workhorse load. He's going to be a guy getting between like 15 rushing attempts at least a week, but you really can't turn down a workhorse running back, especially in dynasty leagues or any kind of format like that. And I just feel like it's all looking good for Joe Mixon. And before the situation turns sour, I feel like you should just take this time and flip him.
Okay. I mean, obviously, you know me, man. I've never been a big Joe Mixon guy, so there's not much more I can say on that. I've never been a Joe Mixon guy, but I love the take there. Obviously, continue to sell high on him right now. And my next one here is Aaron Jones. Two Aarons minus one Aaron equals bad news for Aaron Jones. And it's weird to say Aaron Jones because I think, honestly, if you're looking at just a redraft season, I love Aaron Jones for this season. And that's the thing right now. And that's why you're talking about selling high, because I think this is the highest value right now you're getting for a guy like Aaron Jones. And to me, people are going to be turned off by him if Aaron Rodgers is not there next season. And there's a good chance Aaron Rodgers is done after the season with the Packers. And I mean, we were talking about Aaron Jones before without Aaron Rodgers this year. And we were like, we don't like him as much. Or, you know, like he always going to see a big workload, but like, is he really going to be that efficient in terms of the touchdowns? And that's what you're going to be talking about next year with a guy like Aaron Jones. So I think it's, if you're not competing or if you're looking to get the best value for your buck right now, Aaron Jones selling him right before the seasons where people want him as a top 10 fantasy back right now is a good reason to sell Aaron Jones on the high level. Cause I think you can get the most for your buck right now on a guy like that. Again, he's got AJ Dillon behind him. Yes, he just signed a 4-year contract again, but he's also going to be 27 during the season this year or at the end of the season. And he's had injury issues over his career. I mean, it's not a lot. He hasn't missed a lot of games, but he has been hurt at times and he's been causing him to miss a game or two. We're now going to a 17-game season that could force them to miss multiple games possibly. Or, again, A.J. Dillon, who I like a lot, could take that next level that I expect him to take this year. And Aaron Jones could just be what he is right now. And if he's what he is right now without Aaron Rodgers next year, you're not getting the high value for him. So I think this is the time to sell him before the season starts. And I think you'll be happy with the outcome you get. Yes, you'll be missing out on a top 10 back. I get it. And I'm obviously not saying just go sell him for nothing. But if you're getting a great value out of him back, this is the time to do it for Aaron Jones because his value, I think, has never been higher right now.
I love that one.
Thank you.
Like, I was trying to get off Aaron Jones or just trying to buy into AJ Dillon before the season started. And obviously that kind of went good and bad because you paid a premium and you got him for cheap. But I still think just getting Aaron Jones off your team, you're still kind of trading away like a guy who could be a top five back no matter what. But I still think you're getting better our costs long term.
Thank you very much, sir. And over to your third and final one now, Jibs, I think, right?
Okay, and this is a guy that kind of fits your bill the way you described it, and that's Julio Jones. First and foremost, it's just using a new opportunity to get some kind of return on your Julio Jones investment, whether you drafted him from the start or whether you got him midway or you just recently bought him. But either way, I think shipping him off to a contending team, it will be great this year. He still could be a low end wide receiver too, on the best case scenario, in my perspective. But with Julio Jones, there's always some concern for his age and injury risks with hamstring injury, soft tissue, stuff like that. But for sure, you could kind of have like a little damper on him getting less targets and whatnot, being in Tennessee, being a more rushing offense, but still just having Derrick Henry, Aaron, AJ Brown on the field with him. You still could think this guy, one of the guys who's been one of the best efficient wide receivers, I think he could be as efficient on less total volume. I still think he could be phenomenal this year. So just get him off your roster, flip him for a younger receiver plus something, or you could get whatever you can for him. I just like to get him off the team because he is old and he's getting up there.
He sure is getting up there. I could agree with you there, Jibs. Honestly, I mean, what you're looking at Julio is, I think this is the time to sell him. Honestly, I mean, he's already been somewhat banged up in camp and no one's talking about that enough. If someone's willing to buy the new success with him in Tennessee right now, I'd be willing to sell high on it, honestly. I mean, I sold high on Julio a couple of years ago, and I was happy with my two first-round picks back. I think you could still get a first back for a guy like Julio right now, a team who's looking to compete. So, yeah, I like that there a lot there, Jibs. And my third and final one here is Mr. Keenan Allen.
Whoa!
Sad face Keenan, yeah. So, I mean, I hate to say it, and I get it. And to me, the way I see it is that Keenan Allen's 29 years old. He'll be 30 before next season. We all know what happens to 30-year-old wide receivers. They don't perform to the highest level as much. And the thing with Keenan Allen, if he wasn't injury prone in his early career, I'd say, nah, I don't want to trade him. I think he has another couple of years. And again, he could end up having a year or two left. But the fact he's turning 30 soon, he's had injuries early in his career. He's been really good as of late, but he started getting banged up down the stretch last year. I just lost Coach Dibbs. I don't know where he went to, but you're tied to a good quarterback right now. His value has never been higher right now. And with a 17 game season, that could cause Keenan Allen to miss a couple games here and there. It's the way if you're a rebuilding team right now, I think trading Keenan Allen makes a ton of sense right now in your fantasy league, because again, his value is at a peak right now. I mean, he's a guy who everyone wants to draft in round three because he's going to be a stud this season with a guy like Justin Herbert, but he's also dealt with injuries. And who knows if that's going to be a big effect on his overall game this year and with the 17 game season. And going into next year, we could be talking about Keenan Allen in a completely different way, where he's fallen down to that five range like Julio Jones is. Yes, Julio's a couple more years older than him, but I think Keenan Allen, I think this is the time, if you're looking to get the best value out of a player, taking and trading away Keenan Allen right now makes the most sense, because I think you could get multiple picks and multiple young players for a guy who, again, could have top 15, top 10 potential right now, but could be a different story come next season. So Keenan Allen is my third and final one.
I don't know about that one, Chief. No, I was playing.
No, I get you.
He's for age, but yeah, I just feel like I think he got another 3 years left.
If he does, that's awesome.
And still, like, he's not going to be as efficient, but still, like, that route running is pristine. He's going to be open for years to come.
Right. And this just in, Trey Lance has a small chip in his finger. He's going to be out for 7 days. Nothing crazy, but had to report that there.
Trey Lance.
I know.
Jimmy G, week one.
Jimmy G's. We all knew Jimmy G was going to start week one. That was pretty obvious, though. But we're going to wrap this thing up tonight, guys. We appreciate you for tuning in. Again, these were some Dynasty Buy Low, Sell Highs preseason edition here, right before the season starts. Just to follow what we got going on right now. We're going to have one episode before the season starts. We'll have a bold prediction episode coming in on Thursday. And then our first episode will be our start and sits to start week one. I don't know about you, Jibs, but I'm hyped to start for next Thursday, man. It's going to be a lot of fun, man.
I'm not hyped.
He's not hyped.
I feel like it's going to be like a mad crash and burn and a rush, but that'll be all right. Who got on the slate Thursday?
The Cowboys versus the Bucks. Week one matchup.
Oh, my God. Good. Well, the only team that I drafted so far is all right on that game.
Oh, God. Love it. But, guys, like I said, besides that, we will be starting our actual Dynasty episode. So if you like Dynasty and you want to hear more of it on a week-to-week basis instead of us doing it when we do it during the off season or random episodes during the season, it's going to be at least one episode a week. We're going to have the Dynasty Coaches podcast. It's going to air every Wednesday night. Around this time right now, it will be live on Thursday mornings, and it will be just more driven around Dynasty. It's going to be college players we're going to talk about. It's going to be more of these buy, sell, sell high situations, but on a week-to-week basis to kind of give you that game plan for your fantasy. Like I said, the Dynasty coaches are going to help you win championships on a Dynasty level on a week-to-week basis, and we're looking forward to start that next Wednesday, guys. So tune in for that as well. As always, please go check out our website at www.thefantasycoaches.com. We have a bunch of articles that are popping up there. We have our rankings. Again, the episodes are going to be up there. All of our news is always popping up there. It's a lot of good stuff going over at the Fantasy Coaches. And so that's about it for today, guys. If you want to learn more about us, please follow us on Twitter at Coaches Fantasy. If you're not already, if you want to follow me or Coach Jibs, you can do that at Coach Stephen P.
Hot Take Honcho.
So give us a follow, guys. More than happy to help you coach you to a championship. That's what we're here to do for you guys. So until next time, guys, have a great one.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of clock hands. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like pooper scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act into acting. Like boom, running like zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. I listen up, Jack, I'ma head back to the blowing that, blowing that, blowing that, go.